Let's open with hymn number 217. To deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Psalm this evening is Psalm 8, found on page 124. Psalm 8.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Who has set thy glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies.
That thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger.
When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers.
The moon and the stars which thou hast ordained.
What is man that thou art mindful of him?
And the son of man that thou visitest him.
For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels.
And hast crowned him with glory and honor.
Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands.
Thou hast put all things under his feet.
All sheep and oxen,
yea, and the beasts of the field.
The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea.
And whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our Lord,
how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Our first lesson this evening is found in the first chapter of Acts, the 1st through the 11th verse. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Here ends our first lesson. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee, O Lord.
Our second lesson this evening is found in the 16th chapter of Mark, verses 14 through 20. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Here ends our second lesson. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Sing hymn 222. Our text is found in the third chapter of Colossians, the first four verses. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, the dream of mankind, since the earliest days after he fell and was cast out of the Garden of Eden, is to seek glory. To ascend to heaven, if not actually, to do so in spirit by establishing heaven's glory on earth. It sounds perhaps noble at first, until you realize that the very men who seek to do this are unholy, sinful, and corrupt to the core. They want a glory, therefore, that is also like them, not righteous, not holy, but modeled after man's own corrupt nature. By seeking such unholy glory on earth, men are actually setting themselves up as their own little gods. That kind of glory is not worthy of the name, and it is blasphemous to God, who does not tolerate anyone or anything to be worshipped before, beside, or in his place. The men before the flood were so taken with their own schemes for glory that they let nothing and no one stand in their way. They gave no regard to God at all, nor to anyone else, and the whole earth was filled with violence. After the flood, when God preserved his elect through the waters which covered the earth, man again began to make a name for himself. At the Tower of Babel, man purposed to take for himself what God had not given, glory such as God alone has. And once more God defeated their purposes by confounding their languages so that they would be scattered throughout the world and no longer would be able to pool their resources together to overcome his authority and to steal his glory. The history of the world proceeded since those days from kingdom to kingdom, all of them seeking this same glory, the glory which God alone has and which he shares with no one. One by one, they proved themselves to be unequal to the task, as mighty kingdoms would rise up and fall down. First, there was Egypt, and then Assyria. Babylon came next, and then Greeks and the Medes, then the Medes and the Persians. And in the modern age, the Greeks rose to the heights of power only to fall to the Romans. Rome, with all her splendor, the greatest kingdom the world had ever seen, also failed. Until finally in our age, first England and now our own nation has sought to claim that same crown. But God does not share his glory. He does not give it to men so that they can lord it over one another. His glory on this earth is only seen in glimpses. Glimpses that, though they are brief, cause men both to fear but also to covet God's power. Before any of the kingdoms of men sought this glory, yes, even before man fell into sin and was cast from the garden, Satan first coveted the glory of God and wanted it for himself. Such glory-seeking is built into our human nature. Yet, if a man is seeking glory, the only way that he could possibly do this is by his own works and accomplishments. We see throughout history that man works tirelessly, spending vast sums of money, energy, and in seeking all forms of knowledge by which he could gain mastery over all things in creation. Yes, we hear it in the news all the time, even death itself. This is the very definition of pride. Because of this glory-seeking pride, which is built into our human nature, we also cannot escape it. It surfaces in our desire to win our way to the glory of heaven by the things that we can do here on earth. By nature, we are just like the people at the Tower of Babel. We believe in our heart of hearts that if we are to get to heaven, it can only be by our own power, our good works, by being better than other men. And even when we repent of such foolish pride, it surfaces over and over again, and even threatens to overtake our life in the church and the way that we worship God and expect him to work in our lives and manifest his glory on earth. So common is this theme in the way that men try to approach God that there's a term for it called the theology of glory. And just as there is such a thing, and it predominates most of the theology of man, there is an antidote to this inclination of our hearts, and it is the cross of Jesus. As much as men desire to know the glory of God, God indeed wants to give it to men because he is gracious and full of compassion. He would love to let all men partake in his glory, but in order to truly live in glory with God, they must be without sin. And yet man is not sinless but corrupt. Any glory man might achieve will be the blasphemous form of glory, such as there was before the flood or at the Tower of Babel. Therefore, God in his mercy and compassion has so ordained it that the glory of God shall only be had through the cross of Christ Jesus. On the cross, God showed us how he will give us his glory. He will not do it by causing us to live victorious lives. For our Lord Jesus did not find glory and victory in this life. His life ended in humility, pain, and death. But in that death and gloom, God had hidden his glory and power. For that was the very means by which he appeased the wrath of God against all sin and overcame death and hell forever. If you would experience the glory of God, you can only do so at the cross where your life is joined to Christ. You enter the Christian faith through the waters of baptism. In those waters, you were buried with Christ. Your old man of sin was crucified with Christ and died. But even as Jesus arose from the dead, you rose with him. Your life and his life are now intrinsically linked. When Jesus rose from the dead, he did not choose to reveal himself to any of his enemies. He did not appear to the soldiers who crucified him, nor to the chief priests and scribes who orchestrated his death. He did not appear in glory in the clouds to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Israel so that they could see him. He appeared to few. At one point, yes, to 500 men, but even then only to his disciples. And then after that, after he had shown ample proof that he, the same Jesus who was dead and now has risen, 40 days after he arose, he ascended to heaven in the sight of only his 11 apostles. And as he told them, they would see him no more until they saw him on the day when he would appear in glory to all the world. Now, if you died with Christ and you rose with Christ, it is certain that you also ascended with Christ. That means that your life, created in you in your baptism, is still with Christ, where he is, sitting at the right hand of God. But if Christ in his glory is not seen among men, that means that your new baptismal life is also not seen among men here on earth. It too is where Christ is. It is a glorious thing to be a child of God, to be raised from the wages of sin, from death and damnation, to life and an inheritance in heaven. But the life which you have in Jesus is not your own life. It is his. And the glory that is yours in Jesus is not your own glory. It is his. As Jesus said, John 16, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That means that you should give up trying to find your heavenly glory here on earth. You will not find it here, except where Jesus is. And he has always put it in places where it can only be seen and known by faith. No one, therefore, who observes us distribute the body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper can see anything glorious taking place. No one who hears Christian preaching sees a halo around those who preach Christ. And where Christ has not manifested his glory, it will do no good to try to create heaven in your midst by setting just the right mood, by working yourself up into a spiritual frenzy, or any other way to try to experience the glory of heaven, except where Jesus is, where he has put his glory. In the forgiveness of sins which comes to you by the word and the sacraments which Christ has given to his church on earth. Because those are the things which are from above. Therefore, whether in your own private worship and prayer life, or in your worship in the congregation, set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth. Our Lutheran worship is very different from the worship of many churches because it finds Christ and these things that are above in him, not in some earthly kingdom of glory, but in his word and sacraments. Heavenly things, but they look to men like nothing at all. Christ is hidden in them, and your life is hidden there with him. Things like the Lord's Supper and the preaching of the word are from above. This is where Christ is to be found. Indeed, this is what it means to have a Lord who has ascended into heaven to rule not in some visible and glorious fashion, but hidden from the eyes and minds of men. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on things on the earth. Because if you would truly enjoy the glory of God, which he makes available to you in his Son, Jesus Christ, this is where you must find that glory. And do not be ashamed to find your ascended Lord in humble things like the word and the sacraments, because after all, Jesus was not ashamed to enter into humble human flesh and blood and hide his glory from the eyes of men. Therefore, neither should we be ashamed, but rather let us rejoice that he has given us a sure and certain way whereby we might set our eyes upon the heavenly things, that we might seek him and find him and renew our life in him as we await his coming in glory. And on that day, our life will no longer be hidden with him, but even as Jesus will reveal his power and might before every eye, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord God Almighty, we shall be there with him, and our glory in him shall be revealed. God grant that until that day we continue to set our mind on the things which are above, where Christ is, and our life, in his word and in his sacraments. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing hymn 216.
All doubt and apprehension.
my prayers be set forth before thee as incense.
And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Lord, thou blessest how thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Almighty God, who hast raised up thy dear Son from the lowliness of his earthly estate, of his earthly state, to thy right hand in the heavens, grant that as we do joyfully believe this day, and this day celebrate his ascension, we may even in this present world seek only the things which are eternal, that we may in the end be made partakers of the glory of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Our Father, heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee, we being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Oh.